Today on the Dark Side of Wikipedia, our Friday News Roundup, a former Make-A-Wish Iowa CEO pleads guilty to theft of funds. How fucked up is that? Man arraigned for allegedly kidnapping, threatening to torture teen by pulling her teeth out with pliers. Amy Duggar speaks. Josh is an evil monster. His kids need to be protected. That and more today on the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
That it is. It's our Friday News Roundup where we jump into stories that will eventually make it into the Wikipedia pages as very long entries. But we're hitting them before they get there and discussing them and just how fucked up they are. If you like our program, become a Dark Sider. That's a supporter of our program. Sign up at patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia or just search Dark Side of Wikipedia on Patreon. Go to our website, darksideofwiki.com, and click Become a Dark Sider. With that, you'll get access to all of our episodes in their entirety, our final chapters as well of our Monday and Tuesday episodes where we dive into specific entries from Wikipedia. Of course, Friday, we dive into the latest news and all of that, and you get all of it with no ads. So you can just binge away all you want. And those entries also given to you months before they're released to the public. So help keep us on the air. If you like this show, it's like the cost of a cup of coffee. If you enjoy hearing us rant about these crazy fuckers, then please do support the program. Patreon.com/darkside of Wikipedia. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. Lots of interesting stuff today, huh?
Yes, in the way that you said, because it really is what we do. We rant about those fuckers.
Friday's episode.
Like in the description, we kind of rant about all of the fuckers, though.
It is.
Because even like in the regular one, so in the description of the podcast, mm-hmm. we should just be like, you know, we talk about crimes and we rant about those fuckers.
We do. We do it like on the Monday and Tuesday entry episodes, but we do it on the Friday episodes is where I get on my soapbox and I go the fuck off. And it's like I used to do it like on Real Ghost Stories online a bit, and they'd be like people like, you know, it's not ghostly. I'm like, yeah, you're right. So I'm like, let's make a show where I can just go off on my soapbox about these crazy fuckers. So I made
so many of them.
I made a show about it, kids.
It's sad that a show like this, you will never, ever, ever, ever run out of content.
No, I mean, that's great. I've been thinking about even like doing more episodes, like our Friday episode throughout the week, like maybe making like the Tuesday episode, because there's just so much stuff in the news. Like I put together the Friday episode and we get to like 3 of the 8 stories that I've curated to talk about because we just get into them so much and there's just so many things going on. I'm even halfway thinking of just calling the show Dark Side Of, and then it's,
oh yeah,
and then it's just kind of, you know, we'll do like an episode a week where it's a Wikipedia entry and then the rest is just Dark Side of fucking everything because there's so much stuff. But I don't know, I mean it's just kind of the evolution of our program as we continue it on. But there's just so many things, and I love it because throughout the week, me and Carol communicated. We talked about this on last week's episode where she'll just send me stuff through Facebook. I'm like, I'll just be doing like my normal things during the day, and boop! And it's like
some horrible person.
Absolutely just detestable, disgusting human being. I'm like, oh my God, we have to add this on the show.
Like, I think the one I sent you this week, it's like, what a horrible person.
Yeah.
But it's not a murder. You know, it's like, my God.
But it's just, I mean, it's almost like as bad because it's like you have to look at like the moral compass of a human being that's going to steal from Make-A-Wish. You're like right up there with fucking killers because what the fuck is wrong with you? What the fuck? I don't get it. I do not get it whatsoever. And Make-A-Wish is a great charity. This is in no way a slam on Make-A-Wish. Every company,
they're the victims in this one.
Every corporation, you're going to get shitty people. And unfortunately, corporations and charities and all that become victims to horrible human beings. It does not make the charity bad. I mean, when they become victim, they kick them out, they get rid of them, and it is what it is. But there's just, you know, it's impossible to know sometimes until the damage is done, just what kind of evil lurks within the walls of your community, you know?
Then it's like these people you think who are really nice and doing wonderful things. Oh, not so much.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not that Make-A-Wish is doing anything bad, not whatsoever, but these.
No, she is.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. So let's jump into our first story here today. It's a former Make-A-Wish Iowa CEO pleading guilty to theft of funds. This is from Des Moines, Iowa, on the Associated Press. The former CEO of Make-A-Wish Iowa has pleaded guilty to charges of embezzling tens of thousands of dollars from the charity that supports sick children and their families. Jennifer Woodley admitted in a written guilty plea last week that she made unauthorized charges on the foundation credit card, gave herself an unapproved bonus and a salary increase, and made false entries into foundation records related to these expenses. So this is far beyond like getting like a takeout order at Chili's. When you're having a meeting with potential donors and like, I'm going to charge that to the card. This is fucking increasing your bonus salary and false entries and all that. Woodley 40.
Yeah, and that all has to be voted on by your board of directors.
Exactly. It's not just a small little, I'd like some extra chicken fingers to take home with me because I like chicken fingers. That maybe can be forgiven. It's not right on the company card, but you know, maybe, like, please don't do that. Woodley, 40, pled guilty to two counts of first-degree theft and one count of fraudulent practices, all felonies. Under a plea agreement, prosecutors will recommend a sentence of 5 years of probation along with fines and restitution. A charging document alleges that Woodley's embezzlement totaled nearly $41,000, but restitution has not been set. Judge Scott Beatty accepted the guilty pleas Tuesday and scheduled the sentencing hearing for July 20th. Woodley's attorney, Nicholas Sarconi, said that he would ask for a deferred judgment at sentencing. If granted, that means a case would be expunged from her record as long as Woodley completes her probation and other parts of her sentence. Based on the Des Moines suburb of Urbandale, the Iowa group is one of 60 chapters of Make-A-Wish America, which provides support to memorable experiences with children with critical illnesses and their families. Theft began shortly after Woodley became a group's president and CEO in 2019 and continued until the group discovered financial irregularities during an internal compliance review last summer. That's when the organization fired Woodley and sought a criminal investigation. Woodley turned herself in to face the charges in January and has been free on bond. Jail records listed her new address is Winston-Salem, North Carolina. So look out, charities in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, because these fuckers shit. Tend to continue their shit. God.
And to get a job like the executive director level,
yeah,
you have to have a pretty decent resume, and you know how nonprofits work.
Yeah.
So she knew what she was doing.
It makes you, I'd love to see the investigation into everything else she's been involved with prior to this.
Because she had to have done it before. How bold, like you're only there since what she was hired in 2019
she
or something.
She jumped in right away. Yeah.
And like starts, okay, I'll just give myself a little raise and a bonus and take whatever I need. And $41,000, when you think about that in trips to Disneyland or baseball tickets or whatever the child is into, like that took money from a lot of children. And there were so many people who gave their money
and trusted
them to do what they're supposed to do with it.
And there's so many, I mean, you look at that and you go at all the people that, I mean, yeah, you have large donors sometimes at these things. And you work for a nonprofit yourself.
She has to know there will be an audit.
Yeah. And the thing is, there's large donors, but a lot of these things are made up of small donors. It's somebody going,
oh,
I got $20 and you know what? This is a big deal to me. I want to give this to this cause. And when you have shit like this and fuckers that do shit like this, That's going to now make people that are there go, I don't know if I want to give that to that organization because that was kind of shady. And it's not that the organization is shady, but that person put that shade on the organization. And it will take time. It will take time for that to go away. Just the public perception of it will take time
and
for that to go away.
And there's $41,000 that it's almost like an $82,000 loss to get because, you know, she ain't going to pay back that money for a while.
No.
But then there could be $42,000 come in, but that just replaces the money or $41,000, whatever it was. That just replaces the money she stole.
Well, hopefully they just get her. The fact that she's out on bond is bullshit. I think you should just arrest her, seize every single bit of property that she owns, auction it off, get all the money out of that, and then some. Basically everything she owns. And if it ends up being far more than that, who fucking cares? The fact that you had the gall to do this to Make-A-Wish, fuck you.
Sick children.
Yeah. Guess what? You get to lose everything you have, and we don't give a shit that when we release you, you have absolutely nothing. You did this to sick children. Fuck you. I hope you die under a bridge.
But you know when you're doing it that it's wrong. You're stealing from sick children.
What gets me is, you know, the line of being in it. This is a weird thing because I've always, you know, I don't know. There's a couple like career paths I think I could have taken. I'm glad I took this one because I think it works best for me because it just does. But I like the other thing would have been like either being a therapist or an attorney. Those are the other two lines that I thought about going down, but I didn't have the patience for the education in either. But I could never fucking contemplate how do you become an attorney for somebody like this? Yeah. I mean, how do you do that? How do you like, I'm going to argue for this and that for this. Like I'd be like, fuck you. Like, oh, you want to hire me? I would work against you. I would purposely work against you if you hired me. Maybe I would convince you I'm working for you, but I think I'd like do everything I could to be like, fuck you. But you can't do that when you're in that position. I don't know how one does that sort of job and stands up for people that do horrible shit like this. It's not murder. It's not rape, but it's right up there on the level of just absolute depravity of human just being.
Oh, yeah. But you know, the way the system is set up, you have the right to an attorney. Everybody does. And you have a right to present your defense.
And I
agree with that. I just think that would be a very impossibly difficult thing to do, to defend someone who you know did the crime.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, again, like I said, it's not like she just charged a couple extra meals at Chili's and because she was running low on cash or something like that. This is like 41 grand. That's quite a bit. That's quite a bit to kind of, you know, take out of this company or this charity. That's a bit much. But
I'm going to say it again. That is a great organization and they do wonderful things.
They do. They really do. And no one should be hesitant on helping that organization out. I'm glad that they caught it. I'm glad that this person is gone. But this shit happens in every great organization that's out there. If you're big enough and you have enough people, you're going to eventually come across people like this. Unfortunately, but that's just kind of the territory of what happens, and you have to weed them out as it happens. Let's go to our next one. A man arraigned for allegedly kidnapping, threatening to torture teen by pulling her teeth out with pliers.
Oh my God.
That sounds lovely. It happens in Waynesburg, Ohio. A 27-year-old man was arraigned Friday morning after authorities say he allegedly kidnapped a 17-year-old girl from her home last weekend, took her to an oil well site and assaulted her, threatened to pull her teeth out with pliers, and then showered her showed her an empty hole in the ground that said was her grave. According to Canton Municipal Court records, the suspect Samuel D. Bowles of Waynesburg is charged with kidnapping, first-degree felony, disturbing public services, a fourth-degree felony, assault, a first-degree misdemeanor, criminal damaging, a second-degree misdemeanor, and theft from a person in a protected class of fourth degree felony. In his arraignment, he was given a $1.7 million bond. He's currently being held in jail. It happened May 15th in Waynesburg. Prosecutors say Bowles and the victim know each other. Court records state that Bowles went to the 17-year-old girl's home, forced her into his vehicle, and then drove her to an unknown oil well site and attacked her. He then took her to his home, gathered a knife, scissors, hammer, and other tools, and took her to another unknown location and threatened to torture her by pulling her teeth out with pliers and shoot her with a shotgun. Bowles allegedly showed her an empty hole in the ground he described as her grave and repeatedly struck her and strangled the teen, which resulted in visible injuries. He's also accused of breaking the teen's phone to stop police from learning she was being held captive, court records state. Valzen allegedly took the girl to another location in Canton after he got spooked. Once there, he locked himself in a room with her. Police were then called after witnesses got suspicious and tried to help the teen after she whispered to another person that she needed help. Bowles left the area but was later arrested after a warrant was filed. The teen was reunited with her mother, who told News 5, "I'm just thankful and blessed she's home and alive." This is from News 5 Cleveland. Canton City Prosecutor Jason Reese echoed the sentiment, but also pointed out he has never seen a case quite like this one. This is a very unusual case, and I thank God it has a positive outcome and that this young lady is able to be reunited with her family. Normally, things don't turn out that way in situations like this, but thankfully, this one did. Bowles' attorney stressed that the charges are just allegations. Bowles is due back in court on May 25th. Okay, so it's all allegations. But if allegations are true, theoretically, what do you think?
Number one, that girl was brave because she was in a bad situation and somehow got the word to someone that she was in trouble.
Yeah.
And after being threatened and, "I'm going to pull your teeth out. Oh, my God." I can't imagine how terrifying all that would be, but she was brave enough.
Yeah.
To know that she needed help and asked for it.
Here's a fun one that always runs through my mind as an adult now and someone who's getting to the more middle stages of life. I always look at things of the perspective of 9/11 and I go, okay, what would this, how old would the person been in 9/11? So the perpetrator, the alleged perpetrator here, would have been 7 years old on 9/11. You always think of these characters as like being old and horrible and all that stuff. And it's like,
right.
Jesus fucking Christ. No, not so much. Not so much. And that's just reality. But it's a perspective thing. So anybody in, you know, above 30 or 35 can go, that's kind of fucked up. But it's, you know, if you're younger, you're like, so? It's like, I get it. But when you've had a little more time, it's like, well, that's weird. like, Jesus Christ. Like, really? But yeah, my God, this guy, the viciousness of these attacks, the viciousness of what people are willing to do. Is this new? Is this something that we're not familiar with on this level? Or is this just because we can communicate these things far more effectively through social media and the internet and everything else, that this is not just lost in some newspaper in another part of the country and that nobody else picked up on? Is this shit always just going on? Just now we can get access to the worst of the worst all the time?
I think that has something to do with it, actually, because, you know, we've talked about on other episodes, you know, recently we just did one about a guy in Scotland. We did one about a couple in England, you know, in the 60s.
Yeah.
Never heard of him. Now, if that happened now, we'd be hearing about that.
Sure.
So I don't know. I do think social media, like small towns in West Virginia or North Dakota or wherever, mm-hmm. we might not hear about those crimes. But now we do.
Yeah. And I don't know that it is like, I know that the world's getting worse. I just think we're more aware of how fucked up our world is. And that doesn't make it better. But it just kind of like, oh shit. Like, no, this shit's been going on for a long time. A friend of ours who helps us run the group page on our other show, Real Ghost Stories Online, Stacy, she said she subscribes to, like, was it newspapers.com or something? I don't know what it is. But she loves, she's sending me articles all the time from, like, these old newspapers of just, like, horrible fucking shit. And I'm like, wow, we could do, like, a dark side of, like, Wikipedia, like the news, like classic, where it's like this week in 1972 or 1934.
That would be interesting.
And
actually,
there's just as much horrible shit then. And it's really interesting the way they write about some of it in those time periods too. It's a little different than how it is today, but it's just as bad. And it's like, God, it's just, I mean, it's a rabbit hole you can go down. And yeah. It's disturbing.
Let's do one of those sometime, because I think that would be interesting.
I got to subscribe to it. I have to, you know, get an extra day in the week or an extra hour in the day. And I think it would be fun to do that at some point here this summer. So we definitely should. And now, God, we need like a jingle or something Let me find something. Give me 1 second. Talk about something for a moment. What are your thoughts on the current situation of the Duggars while I find this? Hang on.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me about the Cubs or something like that. I'm like, well, the Cubs are playing some pretty good baseball right now, Tony. And I just don't Josh Duggar at all, Tony.
I'm speaking in your ear, Phil.
It's really nice weather here. In fact, it's gorgeous day to day here. You know, it has been super duper rainy, and today was beautiful and sunshine and all that. I like that. That was good and stuff. Am I still stalling?
Keep filling. Keep filling.
So, yeah, about Josh Duggar, and I think I've said this a million times, but I think whatever happened when he was younger, whatever that whole thing with the young, his mm-hmm. sisters and everybody, I highly doubt he got the help he needed then, but I do think that is a really hard, hard thing to treat.
Yeah.
When you're that age and you are molesting young girls.
Yeah.
I think that's a very hard thing to treat. And I have the feeling that he never got the proper treatment he needed then. So was that I was going to say, that's not the jingle.
Oh, I'm finding all these. Here we go. Ready for some Josh. Let's determine what we want to do for Josh Duggar jingles. Here we go. Ready?
Okay.
Let's I'll sing with it because these are old radio pieces that I have here. Josh Duggar's fucked up.
That's one. It. I don't even want to hear another one.
You sure? Josh Duggar's fucked.
First one was funny.
Josh Duggar's fucked in the head. Anymore?
That was a pretty good one, too.
Anymore. Let's keep going.
The first one, the delivery was so good on me.
Fucked in the head.
No, not that one.
Okay, more. Let's see here. Josh Duggar's fucked in the head. Kind of a little more religious, so that might speak to some. Josh Duggar's fucked in the head. It's a little more sexual sounding on that one.
Yeah, that was a little Keith Sweat.
Josh Duggar is fucked in the head.
No, not that one.
Not quite good. No.
Although you tried. Let's see. That was good.
Josh Duggar is fucked in the head. That's kind of has a Bruce Hornsby feel to it almost right there.
Yeah, it sure did.
It's like, that's just the way it is. Josh Duggar will never change. Josh Duggar's fucked in the head. The long one.
I like that one. Just that Josh Duggar's fucked in the head.
Josh Duggar's fucked in the head.
That's almost a little The More You Know.
It is kind of. I was trying to like, well, Josh Duggar's kind of fucked in the head. I used to use all these on an adult contemporary station I worked at Sweepers. We got here. Josh Duggar is fucked in the head. And a few more.
Why would any station use that one?
A lot of these sucked. I never used half of them, but some. Now, Josh Duggar's Gonna find you and do inappropriate things to you. That might be.
I still like the person.
Josh Duggar kind of fucked in the head, so look out.
That was Bruce Hornsby.
Or Evening Shade. Remember Evening Shade?
Right. Yeah.
Josh Duggar is on the prowl, so look out. Josh Duggar, he's kind of wacky, but he might touch your family. It's kind of, yeah, I don't know. Here we go, let's see another one. Hide your children, because Joshy's in town. Let's see here. Got it. Josh's in town. Hide your kids.
I'm still telling you, it's the first one.
Is it?
Yeah.
Josh's in town. Hide the pets. Even though we've never done anything about pets yet, but, you know, I wouldn't put it past him. Anything's possible. Anything's possible when you believe, you know. Josh might just come after your pets and your children to run the fuck out of town. It's a bit much. Bit much. Josh's here. He's working in a car dealership. And hide your daughters.
I like that one's dark.
It is kind of
that dark. Might be that's yeah. A pretty good one because it's just dark.
Child porn. It's just another thing on his browser, Josh Duggar.
Josh Duggar's browser history is scary.
How to hide your browser history with Josh Duggar.
Oh, you're making me laugh.
Let's see what else we can find here. What else we got here? Jim Bob's your dad's name and you're fucking the head. What happened, Josh Duggar? Please tell us. Please tell us, you motherfucker. Please kill yourself in prison because no one loves you, Josh Duggar. Bit much?
No, he needs to go to prison because nobody loves him.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm down with that.
When your family hides the child predator at their friend's house, you know we're talking about Josh Duggar.
I like that one a lot.
We'll go with that one. So that's our...
Did you write the lyrics down?
No, I just kind of improv the whole fucking thing. So,
yeah, but write those lyrics down.
We can just go back and grab the audio at some point.
Oh, there's that.
Yeah. So let's go to this story of the week of the Duggar Adventures. This is from the HollywoodGossip.com. Jenna Duggar flees Arkansas amid Josh scandal, takes refuge with Wissam family in Nebraska. Go ahead.
Jenna Duggar is, again, there's a lot of them.
Yeah,
she's the sister, one of them that was molested. Mm. Seems like it.
Not sure. We're going to get into the story and find out. Here we go. It says these are eventful times for the Duggar family. Not in a good way, though. In the week since Josh Duggar was arrested on child pornography charges, the other members of the Counting On clan have coped using various methods, but no one has remained unaffected. As usual, Jenna Duggar has been a major topic of discussion in the Duggar-focused corners of the internet, but fans are curious about how the beloved eldest daughter of Jim Bob and Michelle is handling the crisis. The eldest unmarried Duggar, Jenna, still lives at home, which has given her a front row seat to the family's biggest crisis. But this time, it seems she took a pass on being her parents' shoulder to cry on. Yet, not only has Jenna left the Duggar compound, it appears she's left the state of Arkansas entirely. You may have heard Jenna is being courted by Stephen Weissman, a pilot and businessman who lives with his family in Omaha, Nebraska. Despite the fact that Omaha is a bustling metropolis compared to what Jenna is used to, seems that she's made the switch to the city life in order to pursue her relationship with Stephen. Yet as part of what seems to be a recent trend for the Duggars, Jenna is currently residing with her future in-laws. I'll take a little issue with that a little bit. We are a bustling metropolis here. This is about just as bustling as Omaha is, quite honestly, where the Duggars do live, just to put it into perspective as to where they do reside. Justin Duggar employed a similar strategy during her courtship with Claire Spivey, who is originally from Amarillo, Texas. At the time, many wondered why Claire didn't travel to Arkansas in order to take up a residence at the sprawling Duggar big house. Now we know that the investigation, which would eventually lead to Josh's arrest, was already underway. So it makes sense that the Spiveys might have elected to have Claire keep her distance. Now it seems that Stephen and Weissman clan have adopted a similar stance. They don't want to write off the entire Duggar clan, but they also don't want to be on hand if there's another raid from federal agents. Anyway, is customary among the Duggars, Jenna is keeping mum about her relationship with Stephen, but fans have been able to get a good sense of where the couple stand based on some clues they found recent on social media posts. For starters, Stephen's sister Bethany posted a pic from a relaxing day at home with her family. It may not look like much, but her fans were quick to figure that Jenna was among those hanging with the Weissman family that day. Is this a back to Jenna's head of the Weissman fam reunion? Looks like her hair and similar jacket in Magnolia vid, one person wrote on Reddit. Buttons on the end of the denim jacket and the black hair. It's her, another concluded. And she wasn't at lunch with the gals today, a third chimed in. Yes, fans noted that Jenna was not on hand for Jill Duggar's belated birthday lunch over the weekend, and that's not the only clue that's taken up the temporary residence in Nebraska. Earlier this week, Corey Weissman posted a video in the family's playing 21 Skiddo, a Red Rover-style game in which contestants' names are called. The video wasn't on Instagram. Stories are very long, but fans thought they heard Jenna's name called in the short clip. On their own, none of these developments mean a whole lot. But taken together and combined with the reports we've already heard about Jenna, well, they begin adding up to something. I could honestly see Jenna pulling Jed and getting married in secret, one Redditor wrote, referring to Jed's recent secretive marriage to Katie Nakasu. She seems kind of private about her dating life, especially since her relationship status has been such a hot topic for like 10 years now. Private is an understatement, and now Jenna has more reason to fly under the radar than ever before. So that's the story on that. I guess I got to look out when I'm on these dating apps around here to make sure I'm not like getting matched with a Duggar.
Oh my God. But if you do, go out.
I should try it.
Just see if you can get some information.
You know, they're cute girls. I mean, they're in my age range. A lot like in their 30s and stuff, but I probably would be so dumb I would have no idea till I got there. And it's like, oh, what's your last name? Duggar. Oh, fuck.
Oh, great.
And I'd sit there like, oh, what do you do? Nothing. I'm
looking for a husband.
I make radio commercials. That's what I do. Like, you don't, I don't do a podcast about, and I criticize your brother every day of my fucking life. No, I mean, that would that be interesting? What if I, like, secretly ended up, like, dating a Duggar?
It'd be kind of funny, actually.
And I got all this content for the show?
You know, I just think it would have to be really hard, and especially the people like the sisters.
Oh, yeah.
This has to be really hard on them, that he wasn't stopped and he continued to be attracted or whatever that's about.
Well, I question how much control. I mean, these girls are very likely sitting there trying to play the role of, I want to keep my family. I don't want my parents to disown me. I want to have a relationship with them. And if I were to go off and say, this guy's fucking horrible and he should die and all these other horrible things, they would be disowned. And it's a very fine line of like, how do you keep your family that didn't do anything bad to you, but still speak up and say, look, this isn't okay? I mean, they're in such a tight spot of like, how do you want to live the rest of your life? I mean, because it really, they're kind of there. It's like, well, you can either just don't say anything and just kind of let this blow over. You can be a voice of reason and you can be someone that speaks out, but you'll probably lose all of your family for doing that at the same time. And it's a very personal choice that someone needs to make when it comes to something like that, because number one, they're a victim. And then number two, it's their choice. How do they want to live their life after that? And it's not an easy choice. I do not envy them whatsoever. I'm not making fun of them. They are the victims here. But it is, it's just fucked up the situation that they're in. And I'm guessing a lot of them don't want any of this fucking spotlight. They just want to live their fucking life.
Well, my guess, I don't know. I have not like really done a deep dive into their religion, but the one sister was talking recently about being able to wear pants.
Yeah.
That she kind of, you know, in their church, they only wear dresses. So my guess is because of that, women aren't very outspoken.
No, they're held back. It's so brainwashing.
My guess is to, for them to speak up about what happened and have an opinion on things. I don't think that's really probably very welcome.
And you know what? And I respect religion, but you know what? I do not respect a fucking religion that holds women back. I do not respect a religion that says women can only wear this or wear that. Because it all goes back to the insecurity of the men. It goes back to the insecurity of the men that, well, somebody's going to find you attractive and fuck you before me. That's the only reason that rules like that fucking exist. It's due to the fucking short dick syndrome of these asshole men that dictate these fucking religions. So I'm cool with religion until you get into that fucking territory. Then you're just being oppressive and an asshole, and you're no better than other extremist religions that just fucking hold women back. But you're going to claim, oh, I'm just this wonderful little innocent religion here in Arkansas. No, you're just as fucking bad as extremists in the fucking wherever part of the world that you look at and go, the religions that just oppress women left and right.
And I have a feeling there's some of that going on.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
And it's all put under this blanket of, well, don't they look cute and nice? And no, you fucking brainwashed them. And now they have to deal with the trauma of all the shit you put on them through all these years. And maybe by the time they're 50 or 60, they can live a somewhat okay, sane life. But there's going to be a lot of fucking work before then, unless they just keep drinking the Kool-Aid and going, I kind of have to go down this road, because if I don't, everything I've ever known for the last 30 years of my life was insane. And that's a fucking hard pill to swallow.
And what about just creating, whoever had that idea, let's create a television show primarily because these people just keep having kids. Like, how adorable is that?
Nothing's wrong here.
I mean, what an odd premise.
It's not going to lead to anything fucked up.
And isn't it cute? Every time the mom has another baby, she trains the one who's like 5 or 6 to look after that one. It's so adorable.
Tell me what shows about families that have an abundance, a crazy abundance of children that have ever worked out well in terms of their personal lives.
It's exploiting them.
Yes. And it adds pressure and probably an already very, very volatile situation that is going to take a lot to get through to survive for anybody in that situation, or just survive mentally in that situation. And you add all that to it. I just think it was a bad thing all around, and to each their own. But when the abuse and shit comes involved and you're oppressing women, fuck you. Fuck you and fuck your religion. Because that's not fucking religion. There's no fucking valid religion that oppresses fucking women. Fuck you.
I'm always so nice about how I word it. And
I'm
like,
not.
Yeah, fuck that.
I'm not. I don't
Makes
care.
Makes me laugh.
I don't care. Because
I love you, Tony.
I don't. I mean, I guess it's the justice thing in me where it's like, if you're holding people back, you're not letting people be who they are. You're doing things for some sort of selfish bullshit, and you're disguising it because you can't admit to yourself your own insecurity. So you're going to say it's your fucking God. Fuck you.
And my guess is that show was all about money. Because if you got all them kids.
Of course.
And it's weird, too, because none of them are using that money for college funds. Maybe a couple of them have gone off to college. Yeah. I don't know.
It needs to be, I mean, say rehab. I don't know. I mean, but I'm not saying they're on drugs or anything, but I'm surprised more are not, or that we're aware of, honestly. because I don't know how the fuck you get through that thing without that, because it's fucked up. So that's our Duggar update of the week here on the program. Let's do one more story that's non-Duggar related before we wrap it up. Boy 12 and girl 14 allegedly broke into home, then shot at deputies using homeowners' guns. A 12-year-old boy and a 14-year-old girl allegedly opened fire on deputies in Florida Tuesday night after they allegedly broke into the home and found the homeowner's shotgun and AK-47. The Visalia County Sheriff's Office said the children who ran away from the Florida United Methodist Children's Home just hours earlier fired multiple rounds at the deputies who had surrounded the home. Eventually, after this goes on and we try to de-escalate, we throw a cell phone into the house, try to talk to them. The 14-year-old comes out of the garage with a pump shotgun, levels it at deputies, and despite warnings to drop it, she walks back into the garage. She comes back a second time, and that's when deputies open fire after taking multiple rounds. Visalia County Sheriff's Mike Chitwood said at a press conference Tuesday night, the girl was transported to Central Florida Regional Hospital with life-threatening injuries. She's in stable condition, according to WESH 2 News. The boy, who was allegedly armed with an AK-47, dropped the weapon after the girl was shot and was taken to the hospital because of diabetic conditions. He was uninjured in the incident. No deputies were injured. Deputies did everything they could tonight to de-escalate, and they almost lost their lives to a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old, Clintwood said. It wasn't for their training and their supervision, somebody would have ended up dead. The sheriff's department said the children had run away from the children's group home and were reported missing at around 5 p.m. that day, about 2.5 hours before the break-ins. Officers were searching for them and focused on the home after the witness flagged them down and told police about hearing breaking glass at a house nearby at 7:30. Officers contacted the homeowner, who told them there were weapons and 200 rounds of ammunition inside. Charges against the two children are pending, authorities said. Well, there's a problem. You have weapons and 200 rounds of ammunition inside your home. That might be one of the problems. But the other problem would be the mental state of these children and the fact that nothing's been dealt with here. And that it's just, they're in this home. That's great. It's the issues that we have in our country of mental health and that we don't really pay much attention to that. It's just like, well, feed them, do this or that. But we don't dive into this in any serious level unless you have a lot of fucking money.
Oh, God, there's so many things about this that just bother me. But I have a really soft spot in my heart for kids, you know, who are in the foster care system because their parents and the adults in their lives have let them down.
Sure.
And, we can't do anything with her, or we're on drugs or whatever the reason is. These kids are left to be raised by the state in a group home, which has no parents in a group home.
Yeah.
You know, and I hate that there are places like that that exist because they have to exist. But, you know, there's so many other things that there's factors behind this that we have no idea what happened with those kids.
Exactly.
And it just breaks my heart when I hear stories like that. Because obviously she's at the point she doesn't care. Doesn't care.
Exactly.
You know, and I don't know, but maybe had a bad encounter with police herself. You know, because chances are, if you're in foster care, at some point the police were involved.
Yeah. I mean, these kids are victim to
something. Doesn't mean it was necessarily bad, but, you know, they could have come and had to take her out of the home.
Yeah.
I mean, them being bad, what, you know, cops show up to take your kid to foster care, that's a pretty bad day.
Yeah. I mean, these kids have been victims, obviously, to abuse, that this is where they feel that they needed to be. So I do have a lot of sympathy for them. But I mean, I also understand where the police are coming from, too, where it's like, well, they're actively shooting at us. So unless we'd like to not die, we should probably try and take this person down. And luckily they didn't shoot her in the head, but they did something to try and get her down to stop shooting at them. And if you're the cop and it's like, there's an active shooter at me, I don't care who you are, I'm going to fire back.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not in any way saying the police were wrong in this situation whatsoever. No. But just an all around, just horribly sad situation.
But how traumatic for the police.
Exactly.
You know, to know that you had to defend yourself against a 14-year-old.
I know.
And 12-year-old.
I can't. I mean, those officers have to be, you know, that's not anything easier. Like, oh, yeah, good job, buddy. You got the. No, I mean, they're dealing with shit themselves, trying to process that, you know, and that's, it's just, yeah. So I don't envy anybody in that situation. Mm-mm. Just a
not
horrible,
at all.
Horrible thing all around. But yeah. So there you go. Duggar stories are a lot more fun to talk about.
For real.
It just really is. It just feels better to talk about that. As horrible as they are, it's just, you know, it's like, Duggars really fucking suck. You know, things like that. It's just, that's how we roll here on the program.
You're good at that.
It's going to wrap up today's episode of Dark Side of Wikipedia and our Friday News Roundup. Thank you guys for listening and keeping us on the air. If you want to have our bonus episodes, all the extra stuff, check it out, patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia, or go to our website, darksideofwiki.com, and click Become a Dark Sider. We greatly, greatly appreciate your support. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Dark Side of Wikipedia.